Owl, it's time to talk about some crimes.
Crimes.
Crimes. Period piece crimes.
Yeah, with a good soundtrack.
True. You're not wrong in that regard at all. Yes. Hello, welcome to this week's episode of Seasonal Anime Checkup OVA. It's a podcast where we have conversations about video games, anime, and manga. Hello, I'm Jared, joined as always by Doc Howe and Lady
Hello.
This is episode number 444, all fours. Oops, all fours. Yep. And we're discussing a game that does not have a four in it, but a three.
It has a three.
Dang it.
Unfortunately.
We goofed.
Damn.
We're talking about Mafia 3. A nearly 10-year-old video game.
Mm-hmm.
This is, makes me feel old.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised by that, actually.
Makes me feel old.
I'm sorry.
Nah.
Many things make me feel old.
True. We talked about this a little bit when you talked about South of Midnight, how, like, a lot of, like, the southern setting of that game kind of reminded me of this game.
Mm-hmm.
So,
which is what inspired you to play it again.
Yes, exactly. So we dove into this, and we got to hang out in late 1960s Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
Which, of course, encapsulates a lot of things of the American late 1960s, let's say.
Yeah, there was a lot happening in 68.
Sure was.
And especially considering that, like, it's the South and it's Louisiana and there's, like, racial stuff going on. Mm-hmm. This is a lot. It's a lot.
We're in the midst of Vietnam. Mm-hmm. I don't actually know if it's, like, the war's still going on or if, like, we're just getting out of it or whatnot.
War goes until 75.
Okay, well, that's definitely still going, still ongoing. Civil rights movement's happening. It is a tumultuous time in American history, and especially in the American Deep South.
Yes. And also, there are lots of, like, political things happening, like assassinations.
Yes, which are touched upon in this video game, for sure. Yeah, so this is the third Mafia game. You know, the previous two were kind of like your prototypical, like, what you would expect from a game called Mafia, of just, like, here are games set in, like, the early first half of the 20th century and, like, you know, places like New York and stuff like that, of, like, it's mobs and everything, the Italian mob, the story of that kind of deal. That's basically how both of the first two games essentially are. And then we get to this game, which is very different in that aspect, where, like, there's still an Italian mob, but you're not, like, playing as someone really within that organization. Like, a lot of this is a revenge story against that mob for what they do to you and everything. And also you're playing as a black protagonist, which is very much not how it has been in the previous two games. But it makes a lot of sense, especially with, you know, the way the story is and all of that, and, like, where the game is set and everything, especially within the time period. So yeah, very much a different kind of game than the previous two, for sure.
So for context, I have not played the previous two.
No.
So I don't know a whole lot about that, but
crime
you were
dramas.
Able to, like, catch me up a little bit on certain parts.
Because there are some characters that do return from Mafia 2 into this.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not like you necessarily need the full breadth of those games in order to understand exactly what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, let's talk about the development of this here video game.
Let's do it.
This game was first rumored in August of 2011. Mafia 2 came out in 2010, for context.
Wow. Okay.
In November 2012, 2K Czech, the developer of the original Mafia and Mafia 2, announced that the company was working on a top-secret AAA game. However, the company was later restructured on January 10th, 2014, and the main studio in Prague was shuttered, with resources being allocated to a new headquarters in Novato, California. A new studio called Hangar 13 was established by 2K Games in Novato in the same year. Rod Ferguson, who had just left 2K's Irrational Games after completing BioShock Infinite, had originally been in charge of Hangar 13, but later left as a result of creative differences with how he wanted to take the game.
Did he wanted to make it moderate?
That's a great question.
Sorry, I had to make a joke.
Instead, Hayden Blackman, who had previously worked with LucasArts, was named as the lead to oversee the project. Hangar 13 and 2K Games wanted to stay true to the quality that many users expected over the previous games. The game uses the graphics software Simply Gone. engine stuff. Here you go. The development team were interested in creating a world based on New Orleans and eventually decided on the setting of the game in 1968. The team used a collection of old photographs to recreate the world. Various alterations to the world were made to suit the narrative. The bayou in the city had been positioned at close proximity despite being at a further distance in a real Louisiana. The Superdome Stadium, which was being constructed in 1968 but is excluded from the game. The team intended the world to be accessible for high-speed chases. The team also wanted to move away from the stereotypical Italian mafia scene and represent a different side of gang-related crime scenarios. Another aspect of setting a special tone and atmosphere in the game had been the choice of licensed music. Hayden Blackman indicated that Mafia 3 would include a ton of great music from the 60s, which is very true. Like, this, there's one thing that this game really does well. It is have a soundtrack that really is from that era. It is very well utilized in terms of just, like, cutscenes and dramatic moments and all that sort of stuff.
Yes.
Also, American rapper Ice Cube collaborated with producer DJ Shadow to create the song Nobody Wants to Die for the game's promotion, in case you were wondering. Sure.
I don't even remember that, and I don't want to remember it.
They put out some DLCs for this game eventually, which you can, you can get all at once now because they've re-put this game out as Mafia 3 Definitive Edition when they put basically all three games together in one package. In 2020. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this was the last Mafia game until the new game that is coming out this year. So it's been 9 years since they last put out one of these. Well, they did put out a remake of Mafia 1 in between now and then, but as far as new games, they had not made one until now, essentially.
Wait a minute. What's up? The first DLC, we can do marijuana strains?
Marijuana.
Wow. We cultivate the Mary Jane?
The Mary Jane.
Wow. Interesting.
There was going to be a Mafia 4 at some point. Mm-hmm. Originally there was, at least. In 2017, development at Hangar 13 reportedly split into two groups, one focused on DLC for Mafia 3 and one behind building the concepts for Mafia 4. Early ideas set the game in 1970s Las Vegas with the glitz and glamour of mob-controlled Sin City. Plans for Mafia 4 did not last long as Hangar 13 chose to create their own original game instead, though Hangar 13 reassured fans that they still own the series and would not forget about it. In August 2019, Take-Two registered three trademarks in relation to the Mafia franchise. Two of the trademarks are for Mafia and their respective text-based logos, only differ in typography. Blah, 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 blah. And then they put out the Mafia Trilogy thing, and then they announced Mafia the Old Country was coming out later this year. So, yeah. This game got mixed reviews.
Really?
On PC, it got a 62 out of 100, PS4, 68 out of 100, and Xbox One, a 67 out of 100 on the Metacritic. It was the second best-selling retail game in the United Kingdom on its week of release behind FIFA 17. Yeah, of course. On November 2nd, 2016, Take-Two announced that the game shipped 4.5 million in its first week, setting a new launch record for 2K games. By the end of March 2020, the game had sold more than 7 million copies. So there you go. I think the story and like a lot of like the presentation of this game is very good.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that really kind of brings this game down is the gameplay loop, which is just very repetitive.
Yeah, I can see that.
In terms of like what you do, where it's like a lot of the game is like you going around trying to capture territories within the city. And to do that, you kind of have to do like these same little missions of like, oh, go kill a dude, go get an informant and he'll give you information. Then you can go to this little location and take down their operations type deal. And you do that ad nauseum throughout the entirety of the game.
Don't forget the wiretapping.
That's just so you can get some collectibles and stuff. You don't actually now have to do that.
Oh, I thought you had to.
No. That's just to get collectibles.
Oh. Okay. Oops.
I don't remember that really being the same kind of loop in the other Mafia games, but I could be mistaken and everything. But yeah, it's just kind of, it is very, very repetitive in terms of like the gameplay stuff that you do. But the story is really fun and interesting, and I think they really kind of do a good job of kind of dealing with all of the stuff that's happening in that time period and not making it kind of just feel tacked on or used in a way that's just kind of like...
It's not set dressing.
Yeah. Like, it definitely feels like this is a very combustible point in time in history and everything. And you can find, you really feel just the tension between the old ways and the coming of the new ways, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of, like, a lot of the people, how they discuss matters and everything and all that sort of stuff. Yeah, there's a... If you want to learn about all sorts of slurs, this is the video game to play because they'll definitely teach you.
So that was something that was really funny about this is that there were several words that I didn't know. I was like, so it turns out I don't know a lot of slurs. I'm not really well versed in slurs, which then I realized is a good thing.
Yes.
But there were so many words and I was like, I don't know what that means. And then I looked it up. I was like, oh, it's a slur.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of slurs. I knew the big one, and I was like, oh, it makes me feel uncomfortable every time I hear it, but I understand why it was here.
Yeah, it's supposed to make you uncomfortable.
No, I know it's supposed to make me uncomfortable,
yeah.
But, like...
Yeah.
It's also, like, pretty historically accurate in a very volatile time, especially for civil rights, and... Yep.
Yeah, I think Mafia 2 at one point had the record for, like, the most curse words in a video game. When it came out.
Wow.
So I'd assume this game probably is not that far behind as well. At least it would not be surprising in that aspect. I think one of the interesting things this game does in terms of its storytelling is present it as if it's a documentary you're watching.
Yes.
Which I think is...
That is interesting.
It's a very intriguing way to do that because, like, you get these, like, you get the talking head pieces between, like, you have the father, James, who's, like, a friend of Lincoln Clay's, the protagonist in the game, and, like, he's older now and just kind of discussing the events that took place during the course of the game. You got this weird FBI dude who literally needs a new hobby.
Yep.
That dude is kind of out of control.
Yep.
You have...
Then the Senate hearing.
Yeah, you have... footage, previously classified footage of Lincoln's his partner, I guess, John Donovan, under a Senate hearing about the events that took place in the game. And you get those kind of interspersed throughout the game in terms of, like, you know, where you're at and, like, the events of the story and everything, and they'll kind of go over, like, you know, you'll do something in the story, you're about to do something in the story, like, oh, well, you know, they went after this guy, and, you know, this is what happened, and this is why they did that, essentially, sort of deal. It's an interesting way to present the story, because, like, you don't really see games kind of do that type of narrative.
Yeah, it's an interesting way to, like, add narration to the story without actually having, like, a narrator.
Yeah.
So it's a good way to, like, contextualize everything. Mm-hmm. Without just being like, here's a guy reading the story to you.
Right.
But also the whole time I was like, I don't think Lincoln's going to make it out of this because they're talking about him in the past tense. Which.
Yeah, I mean, if you'd played the other Mafia games, they don't really have good endings per se.
Yeah, and I don't think this one had a good ending either.
No.
I mean,
there was multiple endings. Honestly, you can get, but, like, there really isn't a definitive, like, oh, this is the good ending. It's like things are complicated after the events of this game.
I think there's only one definitively bad ending, and that's the car bomb.
Yeah.
That one's pretty bad.
Mm-hmm.
But the other two I could see, like, either direction. Like, neither of them is good.
Yeah.
But... It's not everybody dies bad. Mm-hmm. Which I was having a thought earlier when I was at work because apparently I was thinking about Mafia instead of actually reading through this really bad paper that I'm supposed to be reviewing.
You know.
There's no spacing in the paper at all. And I'm just like, I can't read this. It hurts my eyeballs. So I was like, Mafia. Since we were going to talk about it anyway. But... yeah, there was a part where it was talking about, like, Lincoln and his potential to get married.
Mm-hmm.
And and how it didn't work out. And it's like, I wonder if he like came clean about what happened here, and then like that's why it didn't work, is
Yeah,
that he was trying to like be entirely honest, and then the
yeah.
person's like, you might be a monster.
Yeah. That's possible for sure, for
It's
sure.
entirely possible, because I could understand like why someone would like, if somebody's planning to get married to him, like, hey, this may be something that comes up at some point. You never know who's coming after me and that kind of fun stuff. Yay. And wouldn't be completely out of line for them to walk away from it.
Sure.
So that was what I'm that's my little head canon anyway of what happened. And I came up with that because I can't read this paper.
I mean, that's fair.
There's no spacing. You gotta have spacing in your
Put some
papers.
spacing in your paper. That's a good idea for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting collectibles you can get in this game. You get a
Playboy!
lot of the Playboy, which is, we found something interesting with regards to that is that like they have essentially edited all of the covers of those that you get in the game
Yes.
to take out like specifically it's like words on the covers of like here's like here's what's inside the
The
magazine. Yeah.
contents, yeah.
Which is a strange thing to do, and there's also just some of the covers are completely just they didn't yeah
Wiped.
they didn't even put them in the game. Because it's either basically because either they couldn't like Photoshop the words out in a way that would make sense, or just like they just decide, hey, we're not gonna do this one regardless. Because we looked up like a few of those that were just wiped out entirely, and it's like there's not a whole lot really here that's like that you would really need to like take out the entire cover for. So it was something
Right.
very strange that. I guess they did for this. And then also like it's interesting that like some of the magazines they would include actual like interviews with people that they had done
Yes.
from that time period. So like there's
We're both like Ralph Nader?
young Ralph Nader's here. There's an interview with like the Beatles, with Stanley Kubrick, some other people here and there, but like the full length articles from the magazine itself. So like it's interesting like that they would include some of that, but also are cutting content from their covers. It's a very weird situation. Also, because like there's another magazine you can get in the game, Hot Rod Magazine, which is a car magazine, obviously. And all their magazine covers are intact fully. It's like here's the new
Yep.
Chevy big block, and then like you'll go into like the magazine contents, like here's what's happening in auto racing across America in the 1960s. Here's what's happening in NASCAR. Here's NHRA is getting up there. Here's motorcycle racing at Daytona. And it's like all that stuff is just firmly intact and nothing's weird or about that. Nothing's cut from it. So it's a very weird situation that they did with that.
It is very weird. And I guess as somebody who has written about Playboy, I was like, huh, okay, this is kind of weird how it's all set up. Also, there's so many tan lines.
The ladies are, I guess, dudes in the late 1960s or throughout the 1960s, because there's a lot of different issues that are
Earlier.
from just specific 1968. Like, they love the tan lines. Those gals just were like, I'm gonna get some tan lines out there.
Yeah, there were so many tan lines and so many like beehive
It's
haircuts.
so weird.
Yeah, and we have talked about this before, but I didn't think that Rishia's proportions were actually something that could happen, and then we saw an issue in here. I was like, oh, you actually mentioned Rishia, and I was like, you're right.
She had the Rishia booba.
She had the Rishia booba. I was like, whoa. Bananas. It is unfortunate that it didn't go far enough in history for it to be any of the ones that I
Yeah,
covered, but
that was kind of a bummer, but like that's like the 70s and this game
yeah, it
definitely
started in the
doesn't go there.
70s. Nope.
You also can get some booba paintings.
Yeah, some I was gonna say tasteful nude art, but that's not true at all.
Some of them are
Some of
questionable.
them are quite questionable. But it's like pinup art type thing.
You can get album covers, which is
Yeah.
neat because it's basically it's like here's some of the licensed music from the game and here's just the album cover for it. Like, yeah, of course. And then you have this weird, like, just Jesus magazine, which I don't think is real.
I don't think so.
Especially from, like, the way the covers are and everything. But it's like, yeah, it's just, like, super hyper extreme Christianity magazine about, like, the end times are coming. How to prepare.
Is your wife not being subservient? Here's how Jesus would deal with it.
It was very disappointing because, like, the little thingy on the collections menu shows, like, buff Jesus breaking off of the cross. I was like, oh, we got to get the cover that shows that. And then none of the covers showed that.
I'm so upset. And then there was also communist propaganda.
Yeah, which of course, since it's the 1960s, it's a very bad thing.
Well, and also because Lincoln is a Vietnam vet who just got back from fighting communists. So he's like, commies.
Yeah. The Red Scare.
Yep. Cool ass posters, though. There was some really neat art there.
I don't know. I guess I don't know if those are like real posters or not, if they just were made for the game.
I don't think they're real. I could be wrong.
Yeah.
But the like font choice in English and everything felt
sure, yeah.
Like more modern to me. Yeah. Like it feels like somebody modern who's trying to make it look like something from the 60s.
Right.
But I could be wrong.
Yeah. Interesting collectibles, especially I think the Playboy situation is just really weird and interesting cuz like this is not what you would expect.
No, cuz initially
so much
I was like
on that.
Is it a copyright?
Especially
thing,
if you're getting the rights to all that stuff.
Right, but then we realize it's definitely not a copyright thing, so it's something else that's going on there, and we don't really know what it is. Every issue has the words edited out.
Yeah, and there's also some of the issues with that creepy doll.
Oh, I hate that doll.
I don't get it. Weird doll.
I don't like that doll.
Yeah. Mm-mm.
Nope.
A lot of collectibles to get, but yeah, the story is like I said, it's a revenge story. Like you start off, Lincoln comes back from Vietnam. You know, he gets to come back to, like, you know, his friends and family and everything.
Adoptive family.
Yeah. And then they get a job to help the mob boss who runs the town, Sal Marcano, to rob the Federal Reserve. And they do that. And then everyone's celebrating afterwards. And then Marcano and his crew kill all your friends and family. And burn down the bar and leave you to die. Except, like, you know, the bullet grazes your head somehow. And you live
hard-headed,
and you decide, hey, I'm just gonna kill all the people in his family and get revenge, and that's the gist of this whole game.
Yep.
You bring in your former friend from Vietnam, John Donovan, who's working with the CIA. And he's just he's out of control.
Yeah, that dude is super out of control.
He's an interesting character because, like, obviously, you know, he's a white dude who was in the military and then at some point was also in the CIA. So you feel like you kind of have preconceived notions of like what he would be like.
Right.
Obviously, you know, he's a 1960s white dude, so he hates communists and everything. But like doesn't seem super racist or anything. I mean, there's times where he does use slurs here and there. But like he's not racist towards Lincoln or anything. Like that's his dude and all that. But also, he seems to like have a very imminent hate for like the old Southern ways type people.
Yes.
Like any of those guys that come up, he's like, "Oh, these guys are stupid. These guys are the worst. All that old white supremacy. That
get that
yeah,
out of
so
here."
So he's very interesting, but also very unhinged as well.
That man is so unhinged.
Yeah. And then eventually, you also get some people to come work with you to help you with your revenge tour, essentially. You get Cassandra, who is leading the Haitians. You get Thomas Burke, who is the dude who is running like the Irish mobsters, essentially.
Also worth mentioning that his son died in that fire raid.
And then you get Vito from Mafia 2, who's down here as well after he was excommunicated from Empire Bay in Mafia 2.
His ending is actually, I think, the closest to a good ending.
Yeah, I would say so. But yeah, get those guys together, and then like you go take over the territories and everything, and you'll take over the territory, and then eventually that'll lead you to someone on your like hit list, and then you go take them out, and eventually you lead up the ladder to get to big old Marcano.
Yeah, there's some real interesting hit lists there, like the one where the guy gets like gutted and strung up on like a statue. That was pretty
Yeah, the dude
wild.
from Friday Night Lights.
Because that one was the whole like riverboat set
Yes,
piece, right?
yes.
Because that was wild, and I thought that like everything was gonna go down there, but he's like, no, I'm gonna make it just a little more extra than that.
The FBI guy got being like, he should put him up on this statue. It had to be politically motivated. It's like, bro. Bro. Come on.
Well, because it's a statue of Andrew Jackson.
Yeah.
And he put a sign around and it says like Jackson for president or something like that.
I think it was
Which
like
like
vote for the senator guy that was he was trying to win over.
Oh, is that what
I
it
think
was?
it was what it was, but either way.
Oh, okay. Well, I know it was a statue of Andrew
Yes.
Jackson. Which makes sense with New Orleans, and also the South.
There's the real estate guy that you learn is literally in the KKK, and then you go to a KKK meeting and kill a bunch of KKK dudes, and then
Hell yeah.
tie that dude to a cross and burn it.
Hell yeah.
Which, any game that lets you kill a bunch of races, pretty good, turns out.
Yeah, it was pretty funny because like most of the time you were playing this game, like you would like hire the person to be a part of your team or whatever, like once you got them in the submission. And like every one of the ones of the races you're just like, nope, I'm good. I'm like, hell
Nope, you're
yeah.
dead. Nope, you're dead.
No racists on this team. Get out of here.
And then you just sneak into that dude's funeral and dose everyone with like highly concentrated LSD, essentially. It's
Yeah.
just very wild.
Donovan's like, yeah, basically it's the same stuff we use for MK Ultra. It
It works.
works. Then shoot that
And
lady.
just leave her there to bleed out.
But then she gets killed by not
Oh yeah, I guess
us.
like they do save her. She gets into the hospital, but then she gets her throat slit in the hospital.
Forget his name.
The son, Georgie.
Georgie.
He comes in, he's like, yeah, I cut her through. Yeah.
From ear to
From
ear.
ear to ear. But yeah, you go through everyone, and eventually you got to take down Sal and Georgie, and you got to go out to their casino they're making because they want to go legit. And everyone's like, this sucks. This is a bad idea. You go to that casino, you get some interesting covers of songs. The weird punk version of Paint It Black's weird, but I like the kind of like slowed down version of Bad Moon Rising.
Yeah.
That was good.
That was good.
But yeah, you go to that casino, you kill Georgie, just shank him in the gut.
He deserved it.
And then you take out Marcano after having a drink with him. Which I guess you could do either way, where like if you just sit there and don't do anything, he'll just shoot himself, or you just dive over the table and just stab him and throw him out the window.
We did both.
Yeah.
I think it was more satisfying to throw him out the
It
window.
was pretty good.
Yeah.
And then all that kind of leads to like what you do afterwards of like, okay, well, you finished your revenge tour. Do you stay here and take over the city, or do you just hit the bricks and leave? And there's different endings with regards to how that goes. If you stay, there's an ending where you basically work together with everyone that you've already kind of, got already, and then you help the town prosper essentially. If you
But Lincoln like gives in to a bunch of vices and drugs and stuff like that,
He kind of
so
becomes just the next mob guy, essentially.
yeah.
If you decide to take out all of your co-conspirators, you get car bombed by the father.
Yeah, which the father talked to him before he made the decision and was like, hey, by the way, if you go down this route,
We're done.
we're done. I want nothing to do with you. Which then leads to the really unhinged scene of Donovan flicking the cigarette into the like holy water. He's like, bro, what are you doing? God, that guy's weird.
Yeah, you get car bombed.
You get car bombed. I was like, holy. I was trying to figure out, I was like, how did this guy know how to make a car bomb?
Yeah,
But
he was a World War II veteran, so.
Yeah, it's a World War II veteran. He knows
Yeah.
some, but yeah, he car bombed us. We die because we killed everybody else.
And then if you leave, you get an ending based on, I guess, like one of the three taking over the city. So like if Cassandra takes over, she basically just like rules with an iron fist and at one point assassinates the governor of Louisiana.
Yep. And then they basically stop giving any funding to it and let the levees break and all, and it
Yeah, like a
floods.
hurricane comes through and destroys a town and basically just becomes abandoned afterwards. If Vito takes over, it kind of just
They go legit.
they go legit. The city prospers and everything. He just lives up in the penthouse where Sal Marcano was, and everything's just kind of okay-ish, ish.
Ish.
If Burke
Burke.
takes over, he gets real into drugs, into running
Yep.
drugs, and then gets into like a fight with Cubans, I think they said.
I think
It was
so.
another gang essentially, and they kill him in the streets, and that's kind of how that ends, and it's not good. Lincoln goes to California because that was one of the things at the beginning of the game is like, oh, he's gonna go to California to kind of get away from everything and get a new job and all that. He goes there. He works like the shipyards. Like you said, he meets a lady. They almost get married, but then he doesn't. And then after that, he's kind of just like bouncing around random places. And like the father talks about like he gets these like postcards from him every now and then. He's like, you know, he's been to New York. He's been over
To like Alaska.
Alaska. He even went back to Vietnam. And I get postcards from him every now and then, so but I don't know much else about that. I know he's in various locations, and that's it. And then the FBI guy's like, "I'm still trying to find him. I will bring him to justice." It's like, brother, you're retired. Go
Dude,
find a
chill out.
hobby.
Go fishing or
Go
something, man.
fishing, you weirdo.
Yeah, it was wild. I also think it's interesting that like they show a post the postcards and like none of them are actually signed.
Yeah.
But obviously like he knows who they're from. But I do think it's interesting they're not signed because he doesn't like want anybody to find
Yeah,
him.
not a paper, no paper trail.
Right.
And then you get like the kind of post-credit scene where it's the ending of the Senate hearing,
Oh my God, this part
which is so
was weird.
out of pocket where they kind of like finish up about like, oh, okay, here, why exactly did you help Lincoln with everything? And Donovan's like, yeah, you know, I was looking through all the files and everything, and you know, hey, Senator, where were you when JFK was assassinated? And the guy's like, I don't know, at home probably. He's like, yeah, it's real weird. You know, I got all that information from Lincoln, and I went through all the files and everything. And you know how the mob really wanted JFK dead? Like that's a prominent conspiracy, I believe. It's real interesting. I kept, you know, coming across the stuff and everything. Like, I learned that Sal Marcano and a bunch of his dudes were involved in the assassination. And like, going through the files, I kept stumbling upon your name, Senator. That's real strange. So yeah, the big reason I took this job is because I wanted to take out the people that were behind the assassination of JFK. And then he pulls out a silenced pistol and shoots the senator.
Like right between the
Yep.
eyes.
And he's basically just like, they're like, dude, there are cameras here. People know they're gonna see this. He's like, yeah, I want them to know. I want the rest of the people behind this to know that I'm coming after them next. And then just walks off and leaves. Wild. So absurd.
It's so absurd. He wanted revenge for JFK.
Yeah.
It was hysterical that he like accepted the Senate hearing just because he was like, hey, you know what? This guy's gonna be
I
there.
can get him.
Let's make this
Let's make this
happen.
happen. So yeah, and that's how the game ends.
That was a wild ass way to end this game. Which like it's a wild game.
Sure, yeah.
There are some incredible moments. I love the part where you have to like shoot your way out while listening to Johnny Cash.
Yeah, that was good. Like I mean, like when they the first scene where like your family gets killed and everything, having that set to Paint It Black is just
Paint it
like
black.
it's so good. It's such a great choice because that
Yeah.
opening bits of that song are very haunting, and then he's like you hear it, and then you see like Sal give the look to Georgie, and you're like, oh.
Yep.
Just again, some really excellently done musical choices, and just like the soundtrack overall is really, really good. It's like it's a bunch of just the songs you would expect from that era, and
Lots
just
of
a lot of
CCR.
CCR, of course. And it all just fits really well. It's just very, very well done. And yeah, I think it does, like I said earlier, it does a good job of like kind of balancing the real political, real nature of the era, because like there's a point where like when Lincoln's in the coma, there's like a part where you see like on the TV like, oh, here's the death of MLK, here's
RFK.
the death of RFK as well. Like those two things happen while he's in that coma, essentially. So you understand kind of like where we are in terms of history and all that sort of stuff, and why everything is so just tumultuous, to say the least, essentially.
Which I have a hunch, and I pointed this out to you, and again, I don't know if it's actually true, but I'm gonna believe it anyway. But at the beginning, during the Federal Reserve raid type thing, they're supposed to go in, they're supposed to steal the money, then they're supposed to like drop it through a hole in the ground and leave. But at one point, like Georgie sets off an extra alarm, and he's like, "Oh, I didn't realize this was on a different thing." And you find out later in the game that like he stole the plates to like print more money.
Yeah, so they can start counterfeiting.
Yeah, so I was like, I wonder if that is what triggered that extra alarm, because it would make sense that that would be on a separate thing, I
Yeah,
think.
because those are, I mean, the money is one thing, but like those plates are much more valuable
Yes.
in that aspect. So yeah.
It would make sense.
Yeah. But yeah. Again, I think I going back and reliving the story, I thought it was fun. I still enjoyed the story. It's kind of stinky about the gameplay. Like I wish it was better. Or at least it was
Yeah.
more. I wish it was more engaging and all that. But the story itself is fun, and it's an interesting period piece.
Yeah, I thought it was really interesting to watch.
So there you go.
There we
There we
go.
go.
I want more Donovan. I want him to do something in the future in the series.
Yeah, but I guess we don't really get it like at a conclusion of like what happens to him. It's just like we see the end of that hearing and he leaves, and that's kind of just it. They
Yeah.
don't really talk about like what happened to him afterwards, but yeah, that would have been an interesting way to continue the series. But yeah, I think that's gonna wrap it up for us this week. So if you'd like more from us, head on over to seasonalanimecheckup.com or sac.cools, where you can find past episodes of this podcast and other podcasts like Jared Now Watch. You can also find columns and reviews on the site as well. If you'd like more from AnnLadium, go to AnnLadium.com. She's got columns and reviews. You can follow us on Twitter and TikTok at Anime Checkup. Follow us on Blue Sky seasonalanimecheckup.com. You can buy our books, One Shining Moment of Critical Analysis of Love, Life, Sunshine, Hot Tubs, and Pac-Man on Amazon.com. And get us on Patreon, patreon.com/sacova. Next week, we'll talk about something.
Maybe Expedition 33. You're probably close to
Yeah.
finishing the story.
So maybe we'll talk about that.
Maybe. I mean, I can't make any
Yeah.
promises because I can't promise your time.
True. True,
Teehee.
true. So yeah, look forward to that or whatever next week.